Warning, this podcast contains spoilers for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Warning, this podcast contains spoilers. Warning, this podcast contains spoilers. Hello, hello, hello. This is 3D or 2D.com's The 3D Show.
It came from the third dimension.
As always, I'm your host, Adolf Vega, and with me is...
James Tate.
Put on your 3D glasses now.
3D glasses not included.
And if you're wondering what the 3Ds are in the 3D show, well, they stand for discussion, debate, and the news. I will not be talking about
Disney ruined Star Wars.
And or
the base.
Or
the verse.
Or
De Beers.
But we will probably talk about
Avengers.
And
Mario.
I do hope you enjoyed the show. The show, get it?
Alright, welcome to episode 63. We got a few little topics here to talk about. Summer started...
Things to talk about.
You know, summer is starting, and summer means there's going to be a ton of movies coming out. And, you know, news is going to dry up because they want to focus on the movies coming out, you know, so.
Summer movies.
Yeah. All right, so let's start off with Blade Runner 2049. What did you think of this?
Okay, well, I have not seen the first Blade Runner, and I believe, doesn't it have Harrison Ford in it?
It does.
It's okay, this is my thing. Harrison Ford is getting really old. So,
yeah.
I mean, you have to remember that even Kingdom of the Crystal Skull looked really silly. So, I mean, he's getting up there in years. I mean, he's almost 80 right now.
Yeah, he really does look old, too. It's not just, you know,
yeah.
He is old and... You know, it just seems like he's going to be in the movie, but, like, he doesn't... I don't know if he really cares about being in the movie. You know what I mean?
I
it seems okay.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. There's some really interesting shots in here where, like, you get a shot of some people walking in a hallway with a whole bunch of, like, clones or something on the side of them.
Yeah.
You know? And, like,
yeah.
A gigantic hologram, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting shots. You know, I'm not a defender of the original movie. I think the original has some really interesting ideas, and it's well produced, but it's still boring and slow.
So
it's one of those things where, for me, you know, it's like, a chore to watch it.
Yeah.
So, whatever. I'm okay with it. So, Kristen, what do you think of the trailer for Blade Runner 2049? You are a big fan of Blade Runner. You talked about it extensively on our Ghost in the Shell reviews. So what do you think of this?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the Ghost in the Shell. I was hoping that you would, because I thought it was really interesting that when I watched the film, or watched the trailer on YouTube today, that was a suggestion that came up in it. So it's obvious that my drawing comparisons to those two films is not out of the question. I liked the teaser. The teaser really excited me. When did that come out? Like a month ago or 3 weeks ago or whatever? And
yeah.
I was really excited about it. And then I saw this official trailer, and it kind of made me worry a little bit because there was so much dialogue what I would water down or boil down to cliché-ic dialogue and with some of the scenery and things that tried to blend in some of the old elements, like the old Tyrell building and Deckard's apartment building, just some of the dialogue really, really made me worry that this was going to be sort of a more of a commercial film than an art piece like the original. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that surely they can blend both together. But the trailer made me worry because there was just so much cheesy dialogue in that trailer that I watched today. Like, you know, about the wall, you know, you buy a war. I'm just like, oh, my God. It's just like, can't we do better than this? It's like, The original movie had nothing like that. In fact, they would never have explained it in such definitive terms in the original movie. You had to watch the movie four times to realize what was going on.
And that's, I think, part of my reason why I don't like it. Because I watched it the first time, and I was like, okay, I get it, but this is boring and slow, don't care. And I haven't seen it a second time, because I don't care. I think it's boring and slow.
I was enthralled with the cinematography of the original movie, so I was never bored with it. To me, it seemed like one of those slow dreams that you'd have, like when you had the flu or something.
Okay. I can appreciate, I definitely appreciate the cinematography and the sci-fi ideas behind it. I definitely appreciate that. I can't deny that of that movie. The special effects were way above its time, and it works. But the movie itself, I thought, was boring and slow. And I don't care. I just think it could be...
The original,
you know,
was so... The cinematography was so gritty. I mean, it almost made you like want to wash your hands three times after watching the movie, just because you felt like you probably had some sort of soot or something on you just by watching the movie. Because just L.A. was just so filthy in the original movie. I hope that it's even more so in this one, because surely 30 years of smog and, you know, and technology, you know, stacked on top of technology would make it even more grimy than it was in 2019.
So, okay. There's a few very interesting shots in this trailer. Maybe you can analyze this, because James and I were like, this is interesting. You know, for any listeners at home or watching this on YouTube or something, we're recording this section separately because Kristen was not available when we recorded originally. The sections we talked about, one is with a big hologram, and it's like a blue girl. Have any idea what the connection with that one is, or no?
It might have been an advertisement, because in the original one, they had the geisha girls advertising Coca-Cola, and they were like on these neon gigantic billboards on the sides of buildings in downtown Los Angeles. So when I saw it, I thought it might have been like an interactive commercial that it had taken it to that new level of having this 3D hologram that would actually interact. But I could be wrong. But that's what I thought it might have been, like a 3D interactive advertisement.
And what did you think about the scene where apparently I think characters are walking in the hallway, and to the left and right there are, I guess, clones in jars or human forms in jars or being formed, you know. I thought that was kind of interesting. I have no idea what's going to happen there, but you know what I mean?
The original left to the imagination how the Tyrell Corporation created the replicants. So maybe they're going to try to expand on that a little bit.
Ah, so you think those are replicants, eh?
Yeah, they probably are.
And we get the back behind the scenes manufacturing of it, huh?
Maybe so.
Okay. So, you know, it comes out in October. Are you excited to see this?
Oh yeah, I'll definitely go see it. I hope I'm pleased.
Now, what do you think of Harrison Ford coming back for it?
I'm glad he came back. It's funny he mentioned how it was fun to come back and reprise old characters. But I always thought, well, you never gave Han Solo the same love. But maybe he liked Deckard. Maybe he found Deckard more interesting than Han Solo.
Well, he was in Han Solo, but not very long. but, you know, it's already had spoilers tagged, so we're not going to go into those spoilers, but whatever. So overall,
the movie's been out for a year.
So overall, you're taken aback. You're not super excited anymore. Is that right? What I'm reading correctly?
The trailer just kind of made me worry a little bit, because when I saw the teaser like a month ago, it was very abstract. It didn't explain itself too much, and the teaser had a lot of Vangelis's background music in it, and I didn't hear too much of that in this trailer. And I was like, oh, well, I sure hope I like it. And I just wasn't real keen on the dialogue, because the teaser didn't have a lot of dialogue. It was mostly cinematography, sound effects, and, you know, just very what I would call a scant or very minimalist dialogue, and that was the way the original was. It didn't They didn't talk too much in the original movies. But...
Now, okay. From science fiction and film nerds, we know of this movie, but was this a big box office hit back in the day? I don't think it was.
Hell no. That movie flopped so bad. It didn't. So, it wasn't until it came out on VHS tape that people actually started watching it. And, I mean, you could get it for, like, a little bit of nothing. You could, like, own it for, like, you know, maybe $5 back then. And, you know, and it might have been cheaper than that. And so, you know, you could watch it and rewatch it and rewatch it. And I liked it a lot.
Now, I know the DVD with some controversy there because there's like five different versions or something of this movie.
There are. The very first one, the producers thought that the audience wouldn't understand it, and maybe rightly so because of that, because it flopped. I don't think it was in theaters for more than about 3 weeks. And but originally they had Deckard kind of giving a narration throughout the whole film, the original one, and that the original release. And the director, I don't think, ever really wanted that narration, but the producers felt like they needed the narration to kind of move the story along so audiences would understand it. Maybe you should watch the narrated version.
So, I mean, I get what's going on. I get it. I just don't care. I just don't care. I just think it's boring and slow. You know, I think it's hard for people to care about this one, I guess. I don't know. So... Which version is the best?
My favorite one, I guess, is the director's cut.
How many director's cut? There's like three, right? Or am I just exaggerating now?
I think it's the original one that came out. It deleted the narration by Deckard. And it added a few extra scenes that kind of added to the mystery of whether Deckard himself was a replicant.
Okay.
There's a scene where Deckard dreams about a unicorn, and there's a common dream among the replicants that they dream of unicorns. And I'm trying to think of what the officer's name was that was played by Edward James Olmos. I can't remember his name right now. It's escaped me. But at the end, you know, he could do origami, and at the end he had a origami unicorn that he left in Deckard's apartment, and it was kind of like him letting him know that he might be a replicant too.
Okay. Now, how do you feel that a lot of the same people that are still around, you know, are going to be kind of watching over it, you know. The director is not the same. It's going to be, I think, Denis Villeneuve, which I don't know how.
Ridley Scott is apparently just the executive director, but.
Executive producer.
Right. But at least he's overseeing it. He's probably getting too old to direct films. That's hard work. I was wondering if it was going to kind of go into maybe Ryan Gosling was Deckard's son. I know that that's been kind of thrown out there a little bit. They might just leave that into the mystery, sort of like Deckard being a replicant. But it was kind of hinted toward that maybe he and Rachel may have actually been able to have conceived a child, since the Tyrell Corporation's motto was more human than human.
Okay. So do you want to know a few of the other movies that this director has done to know if he could be a good fit?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. I should have researched that.
Okay. So down here, I'm on IMDb now. He's known for Arrival, which came out last year. I actually really like that movie. Have you seen that one or no?
Have not seen it.
It's about aliens coming in and a linguist. Who is trying to understand them. And it's more of a thoughtful kind of first contact kind of movie.
I did hear about that.
He also did Prisoners, which I never heard of. Visionaries, which I never heard of. And
gosh, Visionaries, like the old 80s cartoon?
Incendiaries, it was 2010. It wasn't a cartoon.
Incendiaries. I thought you said Visionaries, and they used to be a cartoon like the 80s called that.
Sicario, which I never heard of that either, 2015. Rated R for nudity. It's a short. I don't know what that's about. I guess nudity. So I guess the basically here, not much things that are really massive. Arrival probably being the biggest movie of the list. So I can vouch for Arrival. I think it's a little long, but it's very smart. So I think.
Yeah, so say by all those titles that you mentioned, it almost sounds like he's a bit of a cerebral director, and that's exactly what the franchise needs.
Okay. Well, if you have anything else to mention this, or are you pretty much good?
No, I just want to go see it, and I hope I like it.
Okay. Well, we would definitely be coming back in October to review it together. I may try to rewatch the movie again and see if maybe I like it more a second time, but it's just a slow burn.
Yeah, I was going to say the director's cut is even more slow.
But I heard that there's like an ultimate extended director's cut, and I don't know which one to watch.
Oh, Lord. There's a lot of those scenes that they kept shoving in there that were deleted, and you start realizing that there was a real good reason that they were deleted, because they were really just cinema junk. And I can understand fans wanting to see every little piece, but there just comes a point where you get, like, the law of diminishing returns. And that's why I thought the director's cut was really the best.
All right. Well, thanks for your input, Kristen.
Okay. Thank you for having me on. Bye, everyone.
All right. All right, so what do you want to go talk about next?
Oh, okay, so I'd kind of like to talk about, this was not on our list, but I'd like to talk about some of the news that has to do with Guardians of the Galaxy 2 that was recently, we have a couple news, a couple bits of information. I'll just run them by. So apparently, and of course there's a spoilers for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Apparently, Adam Warlock will not appear in Avengers 3, but he will appear in Guardians 3.
Interesting. So maybe in Avengers Part 2,
yeah,
he'll be there.
I'm not exactly sure why they did this, like why tease him if he's not going to be in Infinity War, but I don't know. I mean, it's, at least we're going to see him. So that's the first news. Second news, did you know that they were tricking people on set? Because what they had is, while they were releasing photos for Infinity War, right?
Mm-hmm.
And during the Infinity War shooting, they had the actor of Yondu on the set, like he was going to be there. And they purposely did this to make people think that he was going to be okay.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were trying to, I guess trick people into not revealing spoilers.
Fake news.
Yeah, so it really is. And then finally, the last bit of news is that James Gunn has said he personally thinks that the Easter egg, the egg in the collector's room from the first film, was a mistake, and that he didn't originally intend for Adam Warlock to be in the film, so he just put that Easter egg in thinking that no one would notice it.
Yeah, so that's the thing that with the other Easter egg with Adam Warlock, which was another post-credit scene in Guardians 2, we know what that means, but a lot of people don't know what that means, so...
And he kind of slipped that in thinking that no one would understand it. But he doesn't know comic book fans, so...
Yeah, I mean, you can't have a breadcrumb trail and not expect people to follow it, you know?
Yeah, you've got YouTube channels dedicated to just pointing those out, so...
Yeah, so, and that's a lot of good posts spoilery topics that a lot of YouTube and a lot of pages do. It's like, hey, you might have missed this. Five things you would have missed from there. You know, and it's just normal. You know, I'm not attacking them, people that do that. It's basically what anyone would do. But they're going to find them. So don't be stupid think.
Yeah. Don't think that we won't find them, because we will.
Yeah, and of course, you know, everything in the comics is inspired by the comics, not absolutely created from them. So there may be changes to Adam Warlock and how it is, because, you know, there's no, very, very few, if any, 100%, you know, 100% perfect comic book adaptations. There's changes, there's, you know, upgrades, there's improvements, and there's sometimes bad parts that they change, you know, but it's very rare that they do it exactly like the comics, so.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll see what happens with that, but I don't know. It still seems like it's going to be kind of far away, and how they're going to actually do it, and, you know, they still have a lot of things to juggle and figure out, and how. Because, like, I still don't see how they connect the Avengers to what's going on there. I mean, does Nova talk to, you know, Earth or something? That's why she went away after the end of 2? You know, how do they connect that dot between Earth, which is completely not aware of Nova Corps and Guardians of the Galaxy? You know, that bridge between there is not there yet.
You know, speaking of the Avengers universe, Kevin Feige has said in an interview recently that at some point in the future, he can't say when, of course he can't say when, but he said that there will be a major crossover between the movies and the shows.
That's good, because they really need that.
Yeah.
I mean, you joked around before about, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and cleaning up the messes left in the movies. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now is doing a lot of interesting things that the movies are not touching upon, you know, and they're not even talked about in Netflix shows either. So, I mean, it's a universe. A lot of things happen in the universe, but it's still a lot of things are happening that are not aware of what's going on. You know, Ghost Rider is an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider, you know, the Inhumans are an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's not been part of any other storylines, really, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they have robots now, which I thought was going to lead somewhere, but it didn't lead exactly where I was going to lead to with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., with the life model decoys. But it's interesting. You know, they do... Yeah. You know, it's interesting because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does reference the movies occasionally, and there's some lead up to the movies and, you know, issues that happen, the movies help work out, you know.
Yeah.
There's at least once or twice where Coulson does mention, you know, Ultron, you know.
Yeah.
So, there needs to be better connections there, and we'll see how that works out, you know. And obviously not...
Yeah, and you could kind of tell that there is, I don't know if you've ever heard of the trope, but it's called corporate meddling. You can tell that, unfortunately, one of the reasons why they can't just connect everything and reference each other and things is because everything is owned by different companies.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like ABC and then Netflix and then...
Yeah, I kind of see that. And I think also people they want to do some things, but they know that not all the fans watch all of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I hope what they do is, and this is just a separate side thing, I hope what they do is they don't have to have the, like, Daredevil, the Defenders, in the movies of Infinity War. But I hope that what they do is, each of the shows does like a crossover kind of event where the shows are involved in Infinity War. That's what I hope.
Yeah. Like the CW DC shows actually.
Yeah, kind of like that.
They have a crossover event every year now, where Flash, Arrow, they're all going together for a bigger thing. It's like a 2 or 3 story arc, and you have to watch all the shows together to get the full story out of it. But I really like it, and it's been a huge thing that CW has been doing, you know, and it's a big deal for them, and I really like it, and it's something that Marvel should do, that, you know, even a couple episodes, you know.
Because they're part of the universe, too, so they'd be affected by this massive war, you know.
Yeah, because like, there's an example here where Flash, in the Flash TV show, he causes Flashpoint, and then he changes the timeline because of his wants. And then in Arrow, there was a character, a baby that was born originally a girl or a boy, and now it's a woman, a girl, just because of that issue, and because he changed it. And now the characters are aware that in the original version it was that, and now he changed it, and now it's that, you know, and there's consequences to that, and, you know, it's interesting. It's I like how CW is doing that, and there's still individual shows. They still, 80% of the shows are on their own merit, you know, but occasionally they dip in with the other stuff, and I think it's good, and it's, you know, it assumes that people are going to watch all the shows, which makes it that you have to get more popularity. So it makes the brand better.
Which honestly, like for the Netflix stuff, I think that the majority of people watch all the Netflix stuff. I think that most fans don't just exclusively watch Daredevil or Luke Cage. Like they watch all the shows.
Yeah. And especially because of Netflix, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be on Netflix right after the season ends. So you can watch it.
So,
it's all there together, you know?
Exactly. The reason why I think that it'd be really cool if, and it might be kind of weird to see, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with, like, the Netflix series, but I think that it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on here. It's something that we don't really want to talk about because it's actually really, really sad. But it is superhero related and is a major story. It's about Zack Snyder and Justice League. Did you hear about this, James?
Yeah, his daughter died, I believe.
Well, okay. Apparently in March, the daughter of Zack and Deborah Snyder, which Deborah is the wife of Zack, and she is the executive co-producer or something like that to the DC movies. So they worked together in making the DC movies, at least the big ones, Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel. They worked together on that. And so they're married, and they just work on the movies together. And on March of this year, 2017, their daughter killed herself. And it was a suicide. And they said that they were destroyed by it, which any parent would be destroyed by their family, you know, member committing suicide. And she's relatively young. She's like in their teenager years. And of course, you know, it's horrible, absolutely horrible. You can't joke around about that. That's not funny. It's terrible, you know. And so Zack Snyder, you know, said that both of them are taking off a little bit of time and not finishing up Justice League because they just want to spend time with their family, which is completely justified, you know, 100% there.
Yeah.
And which then leads to another story, who's going to finish up Justice League. And he actually answered this, and it's going to be Joss Whedon, the same Joss Whedon that did the Avengers movies. And he was, you know, brought in to help do the Batgirl movie, and apparently he has a lot of favors with Zack Snyder, and so he's going to be finishing up the Justice League movie, and which, okay, everyone loves the first Avengers. I think a lot of people don't like the second Avengers. We both really like it, but we got to give the director a lot of credit. He did a great job on both of them, you know? So this is, they said that this is still going to be essentially Zack Snyder's vision, but I mean, it's still post-production. There might still be some scenes that he has to do and change. And, you know, it's going to be, I guess, maybe 75% of what Zack Snyder wanted, and maybe the 25% of what Joss Whedon wants to do toward the end, because the movie still doesn't come out until November, so there's still plenty of time to adjust scenes, do some reshoots, you know, do some things here and there. So I don't think he's going to change it dramatically, but, you know, I do think it's a massive story where it may feel different in certain scenes because, you know, how the movie was made prior to the news to the daughter, you know, which we didn't know about the daughter news at all. It was totally, completely not shown off to the press or to anyone, which completely understandable because that's just a horrible life event, you know. So what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I can understand someone resigning because of, like, family issues, especially, like, an event like that. But it's kind of weird that you have both Joss Whedon directing both the, or what is he doing, directing, or is he producing, or what is he doing?
Yeah, he's now the director of it to finish it up.
Okay, well, it's kind of interesting that he's now he's responsible for both films. Kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like Justice League and Avengers.
Yeah. And so that's kind of amazing in that way, you know. And I could not imagine a better person to handle that movie, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, my only issue with it is that, okay, even if it's just 25%, there's a very Joss Whedon-esque feel to it. So what I'm wondering, here's my thing, is Justice League going to be very similar to the Avengers? Like in the style?
Yeah, I mean, okay, tonal issues might be, I think, what you're getting at, where are they going to have a big difference in tone where, you know, Joss Whedon's tone may clash with Zack Snyder's tone on certain scenes, where like half the movie is you know, very Zack Snyder and very flashy, and the other half is not as much, you know, and is that going to be obvious to the, you know, people?
Yeah.
So is that going to make the movie better or worse? And, you know, I'm going to be optimistic. I'm actually thinking that this is going to be part of the first really good one. Maybe Wonder Woman will be good, but we'll see. We'll talk about that later. But
yeah.
I definitely think that there's going to be a flavor to it that will be different, you know?
Yeah. I'm just hoping that it's, like, original, you know?
So, you know, we'll see. So, yeah, it was Autumn, Zack's daughter from his first marriage to Denise Snyder. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's still terrible. And, you know, we want to put this number up. I put this up when I put it up on Twitter a week ago. If you have any suicidal ideas and you need help, please call 1-800-273-8255. I would say that again, 1-800-273-8255. You know, we lost Robin Williams a few years ago, and, you know, we shouldn't have to. He was a great comedian, and, you know, I don't know what was happening with this woman's life, this girl's life, that she wanted to kill herself, and, you know, that's not the way. That's not the way, you know, and maybe there might be situations where you're in chronic pain and there's nothing else for you, but that's different, you know. Yeah, if you need help, get help. Get help. There's no shame in getting help. It's an awful, awful thing, you know.
Because, like, it just causes more problems for everyone involved.
All right, yeah. So very interesting news. It was not totally random. No one expected that. So let's, I guess, move on to Wonder Woman, which is another DC upcoming movie coming out next week as a record date. We're recording this on May 28th, 2017 at, what time is it here? 12:30, about, give or take, Central Standard Time. You know, anyway, so Alamo Drafthouse has said that they're going to screen Wonder Woman and have a woman's only screening where only women are allowed to watch this. And people are very, very upset. Jam, what do you think about this?
Well, okay. Okay, I can understand, I guess, what they're trying to do, but on the other hand, I'm like, does this mean that a film could do a men-only screening?
So, okay. Do you have an Alamo Drafthouse where you live?
No.
Okay. I think this is a very, very important aspect of this conversation that people may have missed. Alamo Drafthouse is very gimmicky. Very, 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 very gimmicky. And they play these games all the time. So, like, they would have a Selena movie marathon or Selena movie and then have it be a sing-along and have, you know, you go into the movie theater. This actually happened. I remember seeing this. So I went to see another movie and they had it. And, like, they would have different things Selena-related, like glow sticks you could wave while you're watching the movie, you know, and different kinds of gimmicks and props that you could use. And, you know, they do this on purpose to make it a funner experience. And you know that screening, you know, Selena is not a new movie. It's an old movie, 20 years ago. But you want to go to this screening because look how much fun it is. You could sing with the rest of the audience. You could have glow sticks. You could, you know, have, you know, just different stupid stuff like that, props. So they do this kind of stuff all the time. It's not at all uncommon for them to do this. Now, like, they are the kind of people that they would be okay with dressing up, you know, for a Harry Potter movie, you know, or Lord of the Rings. Everyone dress up as Lord of the Rings character. That's what they would kind of do, you know. And they actually, it's kind of funny, on Twitter, people commenting, is like, what, are you going to have a clowns only?
Clowns only
for it, and official Alamo Drafthouse said, actually, that's a good idea, we'll consider it. So everyone dressed up at, you know, going to the upcoming movie, the remake or the movie, and people dress up as clowns. They are thinking about it now because someone joked about it on Twitter, and that's what the kind of things they do. And that's completely in their character to do that, and it's silly, but it's a fun way to make the movie going process better, you know. And Alamo is actually one of my favorite places to go see a movie because they have the food there in there with you, and they have beer and alcohol, and they have very strict no talking, no texting, you know, rules, and they'll kick out people if they have people that violate those rules, you know. So they care about that. And they're kind of a hipster attitude as well. They have a lot of, you know, hipstery foods and kind of things like that. And it's just, it's their style, man. It's just their style. And, you know, look, with Wonder Woman, has there ever been another big female superhero movie? Catwoman, no. Elektra, no. Elektra, no. You know, Wonder Woman is top tier. And what looks like, I haven't seen it yet, but there's a lot of good buzz around it after people came out of the early screenings. I don't think the reviews are up yet, but I don't look at reviews before I do my own review. But there's good buzz, you know, and let the women have it. I don't care. You know, if they're going to, you know, I wouldn't mind it. I guess they would try to do something like that for other movies, too. You know, if they want to have, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, dress up as 80s, and, you know, have your 80s outfits only, you know?
Yeah.
it's just gimmicky stuff. They're not really trying to be sexist. They're just trying to be stupid.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's what it is. It's just a gimmick to get people into the audience. Like, I asked my wife this. It's like, so are you, you know, because we were going to go see it one way or another, you know, if it's going to be next weekend in premiere or early screening, like, would you go see this with your female friends? She's like, hell yeah. Yeah, it would be fun. It's an excuse to go see the theater, you know, together, you know, a communal thing. It's not meant to be mean or it's just stupid. It's just them being fun. Look, you know, movie theaters need to have their gimmicks sometimes to get people into the seats because a lot of people, you know.
Dress up like clown.
Dress up like clowns to see the It movie, you know.
That would be funny.
You know, whenever you see it, sometimes the movies have, you know, food-related puns in there, you know, they're for the specific movie. So, like, you know, you could get... I went to go see Sausage Party in Animal Draft House. They gave me an adult coloring book with crayons, and they had different adult-themed food items you could pick from. Like, you could get, you know, for a Sausage Party, get a super large sausage. You know, really gimmicky, but it's fun. You know, it's not meant to be evil or bad or sexist. It's just meant to be fun. And that coloring book is quite an adult coloring book, if you know what I mean, James. Not just because it's for older audiences. Like, they actually have a lot of cursing in it and a lot of adult themes in it. And it's hilarious. I treasure that coloring book. It's hilariously awesome. You know, and that's the only thing you could get at Animal Draft House. You couldn't get that anywhere else, you know, and it's just fun. It's just gimmicky. It's an excuse to go see it in the theater instead of watching it on Netflix. Like, going back around the circle, you know. So, whatever. It's not that bad. I don't think it's that bad. It's just let them have their fun, you know. There'll be other times that they have, you know, more gimmicky stuff and whatever.
Uh-huh.
All right. So what do you want to talk about next?
Well, I got another piece of news that's kind of interesting. So I don't know if you've heard about it, but Universal is trying to start their own universe of films called the Monster Universe.
Oh, this again.
And they have stated that they have an official name for the universe now. They're going to call it the Dark Universe. And the Dark Universe originally was going to be started with a movie called Dracula Untold, which I'm pretty sure was a bad movie.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I've heard it was bad, so I'm just going to say it was bad. Well, apparently, that was supposed to be the first film in the universe, but Universal retracted it, saying, oh, no, that's its own thing. That's not the real thing, I guess because they were disappointed by the product. So The Mummy, the upcoming film, will be the first movie in the universe.
Now, it's funny because The Mummy, the first videos, the first trailers did not mention 3D, but now they do. So now it's like, okay, when that happened? Usually they want to, you know, advertise that first thing you know, so you know to watch it in 3D. And like now the new trailers, watch it in 3D. Okay, cool. So I'm kind of interested in seeing it just because I think it might be really kind of stupid and bad. but we'll see. You know, who knows? So I think I made a joke about The Mummy. It looks like they got the worst things from Suicide Squad and decided to make a whole movie from it. You know,
they just got the worst elements from Suicide Squad. Because, like, it does have a lot of similarities.
You know, the Enchantress takes over. She's bad. And then you take her down. And then she even looks like Enchantress, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she has her minions, like Enchantress kind of did, with Tom Cruise being, you know, I guess, one of her minions. I don't know. And, I think they also mentioned the World of Monsters with the werewolf movie that came out not that long ago either. You know, so they've been, and then it's funny you mentioned this because I saw in some of the, you know, the movie's going to come out in like 2 or 3 weeks. Actually, I have a date here. They're coming out very soon. The Mummy is going to come out on the 9th of June, and they've had promotional things for it on Twitter and Facebook. And one of the things they promoted, which totally seems random and kind of a spoilery, that, oh, here's the first picture of Dr. Jekyll. You know, he's part of the Mummy universe. Like, what? Dr. Jekyll? Why is he part of this? So is that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde going to be part of this movie somehow? Are they going to have a post-credit scene?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a disaster because are the monsters going to team up and be like the Avengers? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, the Monster Mash. It was a graveyard smash.
Yeah, so this, I bet you this will be hilariously bad. Like, you know, like, I'm not talking about the films themselves. I'm just talking about, like, the idea to me to, like, you know, to connect all the universe together or something to try to... It's just a bad idea because usually monster films have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, and apparently...
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
God...
Like werewolf and Dracula occasionally fighting.
But there is a long-stated, you know, werewolves and vampires not getting along thing. You know, that is a long-standing meme, not meme, but trope of, you know. So I think they've done this before, you know. I think both of us really enjoy the Angry Video Game Nerd. And I think he actually did a review of like one of the movies where they have them all go together, and I think he said it was kind of fun but ridiculous. And you know, one of the more famous Angry Video Game Nerd movies was actually the first one he did was like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. You know?
Yeah. The game.
The game.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So yeah. I don't know. I think they're just desperate, you know, and
they're definitely trying to cash in on the success of Marvel.
Yeah, apparently
to a very lesser extent DC.
Yeah, you know, expanded giant connected movie universes are definitely gonna be something that other people are gonna try. So
yeah, but I'm just not very confident in it, you know. Like, because the thing is like, with the Marvel movies, like, it kind of makes sense because, like, they're all heroes in the same world and they kind of team up. But just monsters, like, what, are they going to team up or what are they going to do?
They're going to make a super villain team that goes against humanity.
Well, and the thing is that apparently they don't have a director yet, but they've confirmed that one of the films that will be made eventually will be a Gilman film.
The Gilman?
A black creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh. Which, okay, I think I got some of those confused with Swamp Thing, and apparently Swamp Thing is an entirely different thing. Like, I did not know that. He's like actual DC Comics character, and he has like a long back history, and he's actually very interesting from what I hear. Yeah. But like, I kind of thought they were the same creature. I guess I'm a monstrous, a monster racist or something. You know, one monster from one lagoon and one thing monster from a swamp. They must be together. Yeah. You know, no, they're not. But, you know, I guess I admit I'm a monster racist. I don't know.
I
assume all vampires are bad. Maybe some of them are good, I guess. I don't know.
Some of them sparkle.
Some of them sparkle. Okay. So talking about horror, we got another topic here. Now, Resident Evil, you knew this. Everyone knew this. That franchise is not dead. They're going to reboot it.
A reboot.
Another reboot, and they're going to start again, and they're going to have another Resident Evil movie, and it's just going to be a totally independent movie from the Mila Jovovich, you know, movies. And you know, I'm glad that it makes sense that they're rebooting it, but give it some time, man.
No, they want to make it now.
The final chapter just came out as of January. Come on. You know, give it a couple years before you talk about a reboot, you know? So, whatever. This is not a surprise. They're going to... all the movies make tons of money, and they're going to find a way to continue it. And if they make it more like the game, then I'm like, hell yeah for that, you know? Because the Resident Evil movie franchise really kind of took a right swerve and just is not really associated with the games, and it's really, really strange how they connect it with the games. But, you know, if they just keep it to the simple mansion like the first one, or, you know, if they want to do Resident Evil Zero from the GameCube, and, you know, that would be a good starting point, you know? Just follow the game, you know? I would be very happy if they did like a Resident Evil 4 movie, because Resident Evil 4 is an incredible game and it has a pretty good little story for it, you know. I'm assuming you played 4, right?
Yeah, that's one on GameCube.
Yeah. That would be great. Leon Kennedy and then going to Spain and the whole parasite thing, you know. That's one of my favorite games ever, so I would definitely love that as an idea for Resident Evil, but we'll see. We'll see.
I'm not sure why exactly video game movies are always so bad.
And it's weird because like there's a whole nother Resident Evil movie franchise that's all animated. And it's like a totally parallel course of animated Resident Evil movies that actually are more connected to the games and have characters, and like, they're not, you know, I don't know if they're going to try to connect that dot with that animated. I wouldn't mind to see it animated, but it's fine, whatever, you know. Have some new ideas, but also still try to, like we said before, comic books, movies don't follow the comics exactly, you know, and video game movies don't follow the video games exactly, but at least you got to get what the idea was, you know. So, we'll see about that. We'll see. All right, so let's keep going on with comic book characters. Let's go back to comic book characters. And we got some information on the Venom movie with Tom Hardy being Eddie Brock.
I'm not looking forward to this film if it's not connected to the MCU.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's not going to have Spider-Man in it, so what the heck?
Yeah. I mean, Tom Hardy is a cool character, an actor. And, you know, he's been in a lot of movies. He's been in Mad Max. He's been in The Dark Knight Rises, you know. So it was going to go from being Bane to being Brock, you know. Oh, that's how it's going to go, Bach. He's Bach.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, though. I don't know. Like, I'm not that, like... The thing was that Sony's ideas for Spider-Man, besides, like, the main film, were awful. All of them were terrible, like an Aunt May trilogy.
Yeah, and then the Sinister Six
movie where they become good guys.
So, we'll see, we'll see. Cool. Alright, so, let's talk about some Nintendo E3 plans. So, they recently had a press release with what's going to happen with E3. And it's basically what we expected. No major surprises. They're going to have their own kind of digital events, and it's nothing too exciting. They did mention 3DS games will be part of it, not just Switch, you know. But, you know, you're going to have online tournaments, you know, Treehouse Live talking about things. It's going to happen on June 13th to the 15th in L.A., and the main hot, you know, game they're going to showcase is Super Mario Odyssey, which does look great. You know, they're going to have tournaments for ARMS and Splatoon 2 and talk about 3DS games. And so they're going to talk about games coming out this year, which, you know, 3DS, we definitely need some games coming out because we do have some ideas, but we don't know. I mean, are you ready to do some E3 predictions, James, or no?
Yeah.
I got nothing, so I'm not going to predict anything right now for E3. But what do you got?
Okay, so I think that they are going to reveal the 3DS 2.
Oh, come on. The new 3DS hasn't come out. The new 2DS XL hasn't come out yet. They're going to release another new one.
Yeah. I think it's going to happen eventually.
So, I don't know. I really... It's going to be interesting to see how they do E3 this year. And how they... I don't know. They always do their own thing. So, I would hope they have a actual, like, direct. Not just go into, hey, this game is coming out. You know, not just a press release. We're going to see more Amiibo. You know.
Like the fact that they don't care or something.
Yeah. Because those directs, those E3 directs are a lot of fun. They make a big spectacle out of it, and it's interesting, and, you know, I'm still gonna expect a lot more ports and stuff coming to 3DS, maybe. You know.
I remember fondly the robot chicken animation they had for E3.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, and it was kind of making fun of Nintendo, too.
Yeah, they're just the self-aware jokes, and, you know, it's good stuff. You know, maybe they'll have more information on, you know, Virtual Console, and, you know, they actually recently started banning people on the 3DS. I don't know if you heard about this. Where hackers that have, you know, modded their 3DS and gone online, they'll just ban them. And then you can't, and like, break their system and, you know, oh, well, too bad, so sad, move on, you know. And people are like, wait, I can't, you know, hack my system and do whatever I want and pay online, you know.
Yeah.
People are complaining about it. It's like, whatever, you know. I remember people just, you know, hackers online trying to play online games are not fun. They make the game worse, you know. So
they make everything more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we never know what they're going to show off, but we do know something else too, that apparently they're going to go to different malls all around the U.S. and show off the games that they're coming out. So they're doing this whole mall thing. And they're going to show off 3DS and Switch games. So the Summer Play Tour, I think it's what they're calling it, James, from, what's the dates on here? So, yeah, they're going to have a Summer Game Tour, which is like, I guess they would, why not show off some E3 stuff while they're at it, you know? But they're going to show off a whole bunch of games that's already come out. So, like, on the 3DS schedule, Pokemon Sun and Moon already came out. Mario Maker already came out. Smash Brothers already came out. Hey, Pikmin is about to come out. And Miitopia is about to come out. But, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 of the 6 games showing off of the 3DS are already out. You know, so why go to different malls? It's like, hey, this is the games that we're going to show, you know, that it's really strange.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be in the summer. It's going to be after, you know, different locations in the U.S. Irvine, California, Bloomington, Chicago, San Diego, Miami, New York, Baltimore, Pleasanttown, California, Milwaukee, Glendale, Arlington, Texas, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. So I don't know why they picked those cities, but whatever.
Yeah.
And then if you go there, you get, like, a special water bottle. You know, if you make it, you know, get your Club Nintendo or not Club Nintendo, your My Nintendo account, and you register and you attend, you get this, like, red water bottle there. So, yeah, they're all going to happen June 9th, 10th, you know, after June 9th and 10th. So all the way to late July and August. And September. So there's no reason why you can't include some of the E3 stuff, you know. E3 is going to happen just around the corner from there. So we'll see what happens with those tours. Is there any of those tours near you where you live or no?
No.
It's kind of funny because the Arlington one is where I used to live. So, but that's, you know, 3 hours drive. So I'm not going to go 3 hours just to play games that I are already out. But
yeah.
All right. So we have one last topic, and it's a big one. A trailer hit for our favorite upcoming movie, The Emoji Movie. What'd you think of this?
It's horrible.
It really is awful.
It's awful. And the thing is that it's worse than I thought it would be. That's the thing.
Yeah, totally.
Horrible.
So, like, they're trying to get out of the phone and trying to be more than what they are. So it's very cliche, but, like, it doesn't make any sense. How do they exist outside the phone anyway? And how do they get...
And, like, the whole, I tell them that I have more than one emotion. It's like, that raises a lot of questions. Like, does everyone just have one emotion? Except?
Yeah. And then they had the cheapest of gags there. They had the elephant and, like, the cloud emotion to make, like, the elephant, like, a fart joke. And then they had a throw-up joke in there. I was like, come on. Are you really going for that? Yeah.
Yeah, it looks bad. Like, it doesn't just look, like, normal amounts of bad. Like, it looks awful.
And, like, you know, there's a little, you know, joke there, emojis that no one uses. It's like, okay, that's kind of funny. And then, like, then they have, you know, Sir Patrick Stewart in there, and he's joking around about pooping with his little poop son, I guess, or child, and they're like, oh, are you going to wash your hands? No. And they start laughing. It's like, stupid. Just stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
It really looks much worse than we could have imagined. And we already knew that. We already joked around this. We already joked how bad it looked before. And just, oh my God.
What
the characters.
Higher cash grab too.
What was that?
Wasn't this film like a huge cash grab, like, from the very beginning?
Oh yeah, you forgot. We haven't mentioned that part where they go into Candy Crush. It's like, oh God.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, that's relatable. You know, you're at school and just your Candy Crush goes up. No.
Yeah.
That's not relatable at all.
So, like, there's a human that are doing the you know, using their phones. So there's, like, a okay. there is one level of the story with human children in school sending emojis and texts to one another. Then there's the actual underneath with the actual emoji, and in the world they live in, which I don't understand that world. It doesn't make any sense to me. And then they're trying to be more than the emoji, the emotion they have. But, I mean, not all emojis are emotion-based, so that doesn't make sense. You know, what emoji is the bear, you know, emoji? What emotion is the American flag? What does that mean? You know,
what's the emotion for the flag of Israel?
Yeah, what's the emotion of the red, you know, shoe? Or the taco, or, like, you know.
The entire concept is disastrous, honestly.
It doesn't make sense. I'm more confused now than before I watched it. And it's like, and then they're trying to escape the phone, so you have to go through a firewall, which that's not how firewalls work.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense at all. So it's like, it makes less sense than I thought it was going to make sense. And, you know, firewall is how you protect internet from different people outside of the internet from other places. So I may have a firewall in my house to protect you, James, from hacking me. That's nothing to do with how emoji work on a phone. Nothing.
Horrible.
You know, if they want to say the firmware or the operating system, okay, that makes some kind of sense, but that's getting into the nitty-gritty of computers that people are not going to care about, that, oh, well, they, you know, Timmy didn't update his iOS to 10.7 or whatever, and now he can't have this emoji. You know, no one's going to want to care about that. But they can't, you know, firewall, people know that term. We're going to use that instead. And then password.
It's going to be a literal firewall.
It's like, no, doesn't make any sense. No. It just looks awful. Absolutely dreadful. I mean, I think we have to review this whenever a damn thing comes out. It looks truly bad. Like, one of the worst movie ideas in, like, 20 years.
Like, Watchdogs, or what was that movie?
Oh, yeah. Underdogs, yeah.
It looks more terrible than that.
It really looks terrible. I mean, we're trying to keep an open mind here, but we can't. It just looks terrible. It looks like it's just going to be there, and maybe they made it, you know, for very cheap so that way they can make a huge profit. But I can't explain this. And, like, I think everyone online.
Yeah. I mean, the consensus online is that this is horrible.
Yeah. I was going to say that everyone's making fun of it, too. It's not, people are like, this is real, you know? So, yeah, it's real.
That's for sure.
Yeah, it's not as bad. Well, okay, it's 10 times worse than that really bad Spider-Man poster. Did you see about that, James?
The Spider-Man poster?
Yeah. You haven't read those memes that are going out? There's, like, a new Spider-Man poster, and, like, the Spider-Man poster is just so busy. It has, like, Iron Man in there three times.
What's that? I'm looking at the Homecoming poster parodies. Yeah. I know what you're talking about now.
All right, so we're getting James's live thoughts about this. So, okay, we got here, in the middle in here, you get Tom Holland, not as Spider-Man, but just as Peter. And then you have Spider-Man behind him, a giant Spider-Man. And then behind him is fire with Robert Downey Jr. giving a stink eye. And then underneath that, you have the Vulture. And then underneath that, you have the Vulture's head floating. And then, what is that?
This is so bad.
It is really, like, it deserves the hate. It's gone. I mean, usually a lot of things online are like, okay, come on, it's not that bad. No, this is really bad. It's so busy. Okay, so let me keep explaining this garbage. So you have a Mary J, which you don't know that's Mary Jane, you know, underneath there. And then you have some guy putting a suit on.
There's some girl in the background. Like, who the hell is that?
Who is that? Is that that's not Peter's mom? Is that not Aunt May? Is it? No, maybe. And there's some guy in the background with a laser gun or something. I don't know what the hell's going on there.
Oh my god!
And then you have Iron Man in the Iron Man suit flying. And then, like, you have what looks like the background of what kind of is New York, but then you have, like, a cutoff on the right to the Washington Monument, which doesn't make sense. I mean, that is bad. Like,
this is the worst Marvel poster that they've probably ever released.
Okay, that guy wearing the suit, isn't he like Spider-Man or Iron Man's like number one security guard or something?
I don't know.
I think it was, yeah, that security guard that got hurt by extremists and Iron Man 3. I think he survived, but he's just a random character to be in this, you know?
Okay, and the thing is that you just remove, like, okay, if you just had, like, Tom Holland as Peter Parker, Tony Stark, and Spider-Man in the background, it wouldn't look that bad. But all the added characters make it look terrible.
And, like, they cut off into each other, and, like, they're not complete. So, like,
yeah.
Mary Jane is in the middle there, in the middle bottom, and she, it looks like Iron Man's going to try to grab her boob. And
yeah, it looks like that.
You know, but then
staring at Iron Man as he flies away.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, she's staring at him. But then, like,
so
half.
What the heck is the Vulture staring at? He's like staring in the other direction.
Yeah, all these different directions, all these things going on. It is bad. Not as bad as a Mojo movie, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah. At least it's just the poster, though.
It's just one of the posters. So yeah. They did release a new trailer, but I didn't watch it because the last trailer was so spoiler heavy. I don't know if I'm going to watch any more spoilers for this movie. You know? But damn, it is really bad.
Yeah, it's too busy.
Yeah. Like, there's just too much going on here. And I kind of love, I hope that, you know, it's already becoming a meme. Already people are making fun of it. And Robert Downey Jr. giving that stink eye. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
The disapproval, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that people are just, I guess the meme is to make it 10 times more busy and add as much as possible.
Awful. It is truly awful.
So bad.
It doesn't even look like New York either.
Yeah.
It looks like Vancouver or something.
This is funny. Like, what were they thinking when they designed this? Like, oh, I want to make it super busy.
Include all the characters. All of them.
And even the funny thing is that if they wanted to include all the characters, there's characters that are missing. So, like, where the heck is Aunt May?
Is it Al May behind the guy in the suit? Is that Al May? I think it is.
No, that's some random woman.
Are you sure? I think it was Aunt
May. Yeah, that is not Aunt May. Who the heck that is?
And there's sparks all over the face, too.
Yeah, and the thing is, the hilarious part is that the two people in the background, you think that Tony's bodyguard, but who the heck is that? Also, if you look very closely near the picture, the vulture head that's looking off in the side, you'll see some militarized-looking man shooting electricity.
Yeah, who's some random black guy with a purple gun. I don't know what the hell that's going
on
there.
Yeah, what the heck is that?
Okay, is that a weapon? Okay, is that a character? I don't, who is this guy with, a beanie and shooting a, has a purple pistol or something? I don't know. Who is that guy?
So bad.
Yeah, it looks like Rachel from Friends, but I think it's supposed to be Aunt May, because Aunt May is young in this one, and she's pretty, so... But it looks like, if you kind of squint your eyes, that's Rachel from Friends, So this is... James, you've never seen this picture before right now, right?
No, I've never heard of this meme before right now.
But now you're going to go right into the dark web and find all the horrible things attached to this meme.
All the memes?
All of it. It's truly bad. It is,
yeah,
wow.
The thing is, I didn't notice it before, but, now... Okay, and the funny thing is that what's hilarious is that, when you first look at it, you're like, I don't see what the problem is. And then you start looking around, you're like, wait a second, this is too crowded.
Yeah, and the floating heads, they're floating torsos,
I guess what's weird to me is all the different types of shots they have. They have just singular heads. They have, half of your head, then your half of your body. They have, the majority of your body or just a giant head. What the heck?
Oh, okay. And get this. This is a very good artistic view. Everyone's looking in different directions.
Yes.
Everyone. Every single character, totally random directions. So, you're looking at one person looking to the left, one person looking to the right. Every direction is just so out there. And what's this black thing on Spider-Man's wrist? Is that the web shooters,
Is that his watch?
Yeah, it looks really big, and
where's the fire coming from? It looks like Tony Stark's on fire, and he doesn't care about it.
His glaze, his unapproval look is causing a fire, and then Vulture is his heart. He has the heart of a vulture.
So bad.
So, yeah. I don't know what's going on here, but whatever.
Yeah, it instantly became a meme. That's the thing.
I'm kind of worried about this movie. I'm kind of worried that they're desperate because, they put massive spoilers in the trailer. And, they're just, they rushed this out. Because they had the deal with Sony, and Sony's like, okay, we gotta do our own thing too. So this may not be this may be worse than Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I don't think was that bad, but it may be like Spider-Man 3 level,
Oh my god!
It may just be too crowded, because Spider-Man 3, I give it credit for, I do like some of it, but it was just too crowded. It had, too many villains and too many things going on, and it couldn't juggle them. And maybe this is going to happen again. I think it's going to be interesting, James, but the really good buzz for Wonder Woman and, maybe Justice League, maybe this is the topsy-turvy year where DC has better movies than Marvel. Just imagine that. If all the Marvel movies fall flat and the DC movies happen to be good this year, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Because I think everyone can agree that, I mean, not everyone, but a lot of people agree that Guardians 2 is not as good as the first one, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one doesn't look that good. It looks really messy with, you know, they're forcing, you know, I was thinking that Iron Man and is going to be like a minor part of the movie, but now it looks like he's like half of the movie, you know?
I mean, he's on the poster twice.
So, yeah. And then Thor looks fun, but I don't know how that's going to work. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I think that's enough fun for this time. I guess next time we'll be trying to cover E3 because that's going to be happening pretty soon. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of movies to review. So I do want to mention some site news before we go. I have created a calendar, which doesn't sound too exciting, but you can subscribe to it on Google or on your iPhone, and you could see what movies are coming out each month, because each month I post the 3D releases coming out that month, and now I'm going to have a calendar that automatically refreshes, so that way you could have it, you know, saved to your phone or whatever, tablet, and it just automatically updates, and you don't have to worry about it. It's like, well, you know, which movies are coming out and which 3DS games, which 3D Blu-rays are coming out. And, you know, that's a calendar. It's going to be free. It's going to be easy. You don't have to, you just a link and you just say add it and it's going to be easy to work. You know, we're going to have, a link on the main website to, if you want to apply, because, you know, James has about a month left before he ships off, into the military. So we have some time before we need to get in the co-host or another associate editor. So we're going to put that link up. The link should be in the information box below, whatever that you're looking at, if they're on the podcast or on the YouTube video or whatever. It's going to be in the information box, the links to all these things, so that way people can start applying if they want to do this. It's going to have all the information you need, everything there. I'm also going to have a few projects I'm working on right now on the website, you know, just to give people interest in what's going on. I'm going to be doing a top five 3D movies of the last, you know, 5 years, you know, which does not mean quality. It just means the 3D was really good. So, you know, James and I think we always talk about Jurassic World being a top tier 3D movie. We don't think the movie's great, but we think the 3D is great. You know, that's definitely gonna be part of that list. So look forward to that soon. And then look forward to, you know, I have a new idea for content, for on YouTube, which is gonna be like a 3D or 2D comparison between games of a Super Mario Brothers. So, you know, there's 3D Mario games, 2D Mario games. So a lot of content is going to be popping up very soon on 3DOr2D.com, and a lot of stuff will be podcast, a lot of stuff will be video, you know, a little bit of everything here, and, you know, hiring more people to start working for us, and, you know, very, very busy. So, you know, we're going to have our next anniversary coming up soon, and we're just going to be keep on working, keep finding more projects to do, more things to do, and keep on trucking. Just stay tuned. And next month, James, we have 7 3D movies coming out. Seven.
Seven?
It's insane. Because I'm doing the, right now, you know, I'm like I said before, I do the monthly release, 3D releases, and we have 7. I can roll them out real quick. Since I have the calendar up, I can see it really easily. Captain Underpants. Wonder Woman on June 2nd, The Mummy June 9th, Cars 3 June 16th, Transformers Last Night June 21st, Despicable Me 3 June 28th, and A Stork's Journey on June 30th. Have you heard of A Stork's Journey, James? Have you heard of that movie?
No.
So I found it. Apparently, it's going to be free if you have a Android phone or Android tablet for most of the month of June, and they're going to have a very limited 10 location run of the theaters to watch it in 3D in the movie on June 30th, and they're going to release the DVD on July 4th. So,
wow.
It's kind of crazy. It's like, a French movie, or a European movie, and they, you know, have this really weird setup where, you know, if you're on Google Play Store, you could download the movie and watch the movie for free, and then if you want to watch it in the theater, you can, but, you know, I guess there'll be a 3D showing. I'm not 100% sure, but it looks like it. And then you buy the DVD a month later, you know, so that's a really weird kind of schedule, but that might be the future of movies, you know. You might be able to get them on, you know, digital devices and then see in the theater for a small run and then get it on disc later. So, but yeah, that's 7 movies right in June of 2017. That's a lot of content here. And we're not going to review all of them. There's no way I could possibly do that, you know. We may get the new person to review movies that are like, you know, that we don't want to watch, like Captain Underpants or Despicable Me 3, but we'll see. I'm going to try at least Wonder Woman, maybe The Mummy, maybe Transformers, but that's 3 reviews in 1 month, so that's still half, less than half. So it's crazy that they're going to release the DVD on 4th of July. It's like no one's going to be going to the store to buy DVDs on 4th of July. You know? Isn't that something you do, James? For the Celebrate America and go to Best Buy to buy a movie? No one does that. They have a barbecue or they go to see the fireworks or whatever. But you don't go, whatever. I don't know why they're doing that. Lionsgate is playing that out with another small company and it seems very strange. But yeah, that's going to be it for this podcast. This review, we're going to have so many things coming up soon. So just stay tuned and we'll try to do these podcasts a little more frequently as we get news. But we want to make sure we get lots of content, you know, lots of stuff. And we need your reviews. We haven't done a review in a while, and we need some reviews there. So remember to review us and like us and comment. You know, I read every comment, and, you know, I will like your page and do whatever, you know. So, all right, that's it. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so that's going to wrap up this podcast.
Remember to like, comment, favorite, subscribe, love, whatever, heart it, be something.
3D or 2D.com can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. And if you want to send us email, our email address is email3dor2d@gmail.com. And thank you again for listening. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everyone.